Hello, everyone. This is Roger Marsh. Here at Family Talk, we strongly believe in our rights as Americans to make our voices heard at the polls. That is why we are urging you to get out and vote in the 2018 midterm elections. Are you unfamiliar with the key issues being decided this fall? Well, visit drjamesdobson.org to download our voter guide to see where your values align. Also, be sure to revisit our site on Election Day. You can click the I Voted button that we'll have there. The future of America depends on our involvement in this crucial election. So pray, be engaged, and cast your vote this November 6th.
Today on Family Talk.
In Romans chapter 12, we are commanded to improve our relationships by living at peace with everyone as much as it pertains to us. Most people don't realize that this charge extends to our spouses and children as well. Welcome to Family Talk, a division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and so glad that you've joined us for today's broadcast. In just a moment, we're going to continue a discussion that was started on yesterday's program featuring Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Dr. Gary Smalley. Dr. Smalley was a best-selling author and popular speaker on issues facing the family. His numerous books sold over 12 million copies during his 40 years of ministry. Dr. Smalley passed away in 2016, but his legacy continues through the Smalley Institute. Dr. Dobson loved and greatly respected Dr. Gary Smalley. In fact, what you're going to hear today was from the first time they met back in 1984. Their discussion centers around the dangers of parents closing the spirits of their children. The two men also identify the role that forgiveness plays in a relationship as well. Well, with all that, let's get to this conversation right now on this edition of Family Talk.
Gary, we were talking last time about the key to your child's heart, and you were discussing the problem that occurs when one person closes another one down, especially when a parent closes down this spirit of a child through rejection, through inappropriate discipline, through just comments that are made.
Right.
As you go around the country and you talk to people in seminars and you do your counseling and so on, how widespread is that problem? Just how common is it for a child at the age of 10 or 12 or 14 to just be crushed and have that spirit closed down?
Okay, first of all, it's everywhere that I go across this country. I spent 2 weeks in Hungary and Romania this summer. It's over there. It's everywhere we go. It's government officials towards the people. It's employees towards employers. It's employers towards, you know, it's everywhere. I work with professional athletes. It's coaches towards their players. It's husbands and wives. It's children and their parents. It's children between each other. It's friendships. Because everyone, basically their self-centered nature, we say things, we do things that offend another person. I offended an old friend just 3 or 4 months ago that was in my youth group 30 years ago. And I had made a mistake. I forgot to call the person when I said I would. I closed that person's spirit. But now I realize that there's at least 5 things a person can do to open the spirit of another person. Well, now that I know that and I'm aware of it everywhere I go, I know how easy it is to step in the spirit of an employee.
No, it is.
And see, they don't always say anything to you because it's intimidating.
Yeah.
But if you're a sensitive employer, you can go to a person when you sense nonverbally that something is wrong. Almost always, we either said something, we forgot to do something, we've done something that's offensive to them. They close their spirit. You want to increase disloyalty in your organization in a hurry? Step on the spirit of the people in your work.
Uh-huh.
Because when they start resisting, they don't like you anymore. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to be around you physically. I can remember going into another part of the room, the building, when a person that I worked for would come into the building. I'd hear their voice. And I'd say, I'm not being near that person. And I would get up. I knew this principle. And still, I longed for my boss to come to me and say, what I said to you was wrong. I mean, it's in every household. There's not a household I'm aware of that people don't close each other's spirit from time to time. And it lasts for years if we don't open it up.
Huh.
My mother passed away a couple years ago. And I was close to her, last of 6 children. And my brother called me and told me that this had happened. And it hit me, you know, like a ton of bricks kind of thing. And immediately it caused a response within my wife. And in a sense, she started to lecture me, you know, like, oh, I knew something was going to happen. She said, I feel terrible about it. But she said, you haven't written her in the last, you know, several weeks. And I've been telling you to do that. And you haven't called her because I'm real busy, you know, and as you know, and writing and everything, you know, you get carried away. And I was grieved about it. I thought, oh, that's right. I haven't written her and stuff. But what my wife was doing in her harshness at that time, in her lecturing, she was lecturing me, which is an offensive thing. And I said to her, I don't need this.
And you felt your own spirit closing?
I felt it's closing. Now, I can understand the concept, but it happens to me too. You know, and so she said, okay, you know, she understood what was happening, and she's a tremendous person. And she went and actually left the room and went into the bedroom and called her dad because she hadn't called him lately. And but anyway, she came into the living room after she hung up with her dad, and she knelt down next to me, and she put her hand on my shoulder. And tenderly, she said, I was wrong for what I said a few minutes ago. She said, you know how much I love you, and I just kind of like to ask, could you forgive me? I like that. Uh-huh. See, that I respond to that. I'm a person. A valuable member of God's family, and I don't deserve to be stepped on any more than anybody else. And she knows that. And this is probably once in 10 years that she'd do that type of thing, but it happened, and yet she responded.
Gary, we cannot deal with this issue without talking about what you have to say to the person with the closed spirit,
right?
For whom the other person does not
we'll
come
not do
with
that.
An apology.
Okay, we could put this in the biblical context because it really comes from the concept of forgiveness. The way this concept really started making sense to me was my own research of Luke 4, the Lord's Prayer, and Luke chapter 17, because it says it's impossible that we won't be offended by our brothers and sisters around us. We're going to be offended. If your brother sins against you even seven times a day, you need to go to them and rebuke them, reprove them, and that can be done in love and gentleness, and then forgive them. Well, the word forgiveness in the Greek means to release, set free, untie the knots of people who are tied up for one reason or another. Well, another way to explain the closed spirit is that when you're offensive to somebody by actions or words, you tie that person up, because when they get angry, then the response they have can lead to resentment or even bitterness, and those are tight ropes around our heart. They limit us. They inhibit us in our relationship with another person. I mean, we want to avoid the person. It's as clear as that. Yeah. But the concept of forgiveness is two sides. If, let's say I worked for you one of your assistants and you gave me an assignment, I did my best, and you came and just in passing you said, work on this thing and either improve it or we need to have somebody else work on this. And you were in a hurry and you thought we were close enough for you to be able to say that. Let's say that offended me and closed my spirit. Okay, now there's two things that can be done. Either you can watch my spirit the next time we get together and see something is wrong and say, hey, everything okay between us? And
what if I don't do that, Gary?
Okay, if you don't do that, then I have my option. And this is what Corrie ten Boom taught me. She said, Gary, the Lord's Prayer is the secret. If you will forgive those that step on you, trespass against you, close your spirit, then your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to reach out to those that offended you and forgive them, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Well, if we take the word forgiveness as meaning release, set free, untie, then what we have is if you offend me as you walk by through that letter on my desk, what I can do now to open my own spirit is say immediately, Lord, would you forgive Jim? Because he didn't even really probably realize what he had done to me. And Lord, I want to pray for him right now, because if he's upset today, I want to pray, Lord, that you would bless him, encourage him today.
It takes a big man, Gary.
Yeah, but you know what that is? That's forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do it, your Heavenly Father will not untie your knot.
Dr. Arch Hart says, forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me.
That's right. See,
I have a right.
Revenge.
You hurt me, and I have a moral right to hurt you back.
Exactly,
but
right.
Forgiveness is giving up that right.
Well, I think the major thing that I learned, see, a wife that's listening right now whose husband has offended her, she could do what I did several years ago. A child that's been offended by a parent can do this. An employee, I mean, a coach can do this towards a player. I was so offended by another Christian several years ago that my spirit was so closed that I was dragging on the ground. I mean, I couldn't get over it. I mean, I wanted revenge. You know, I had all the emotions of, I didn't want to be near the person. You know, all the emotions of my spirit closing. I'm a runner, a long-distance runner. So I ran on this in Texas. I was running on this golf course every morning. Every morning I would cry out to the Lord. I'd say, Lord, please release me. I didn't even know I was praying, Father, please forgive me, which is release.
Yeah.
After 2 years of running on that golf course, every morning and long distances through the streets and things, finally the Lord taught me through not only what Corrie told me, but what I'd read from her, that if I would realize that this person who offended me has their own unresolved conflicts and their own unmet needs, that's the reason they offended me in the first place.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't taken it so personal, but I was too immature to handle it. So then all I did was say, Lord, tell me why that person offended me. And little by little over the weeks, the Lord began to give me wisdom as to why he did this to me. And you know what happened to my heart? I became compassionate towards the person instead of, and then I was free inside. God untied me, and that's what the Lord's Prayer says.
People with closed down spirits tend to close other people's spirits,
don't they? Yes, they do. Absolutely. Because, see, it's the antagonistic bitterness that they carry around with them, and then they sort of a floating bitterness go and antagonize this person, antagonize that person. Then what we have is if a person marries with a resentment towards their mother or father, it diminishes the possibility of them having a wholesome relationship with their mate.
I'm Roger Marsh, and we have reached the midpoint of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Dr. Gary Smalley right here on Family Talk, a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. This new institute is continuing Dr. Dobson's mission to protect marriages and families and effectively engage the culture. In addition to these Family Talk broadcasts, there are three other divisions through which we are fighting this battle as well. The first is with our educational partnerships with colleges and universities to better instruct the next generation of leaders. Secondly, it's the Dobson Policy Center, which highlights how the political arena impacts the family. And finally, the Dobson Digital Library, which is the online collection of all of Dr. James Dobson's work. We are excited for this expansion, and we hope you'll stand with us. Learn more at DobsonFamilyInstitute.com. Okay, let's get back to today's broadcast right now. As we rejoin the conversation, Dr. Gary Smalley elaborates on how we can repair broken hearts.
What I'm finding is that the first thing a person needs to do, like a husband who knows his wife has closed him out now, her spirit is closed, if he becomes soft and gentle in his own heart and spirit with her, that's facial expression, that's tone of voice, it's the whole works. That comes from Proverbs, the 15th chapter, 1 verses 1 through 4. It says, a soft answer turns anger away. Sometimes just softness can turn it away, can start to open the spirit of a person. Number two, when we increase our understanding of why they closed us out and closed up on us, understanding and softness often are the only two things that are needed to open the spirit of a person. I'll just give you an example. In working with one of the linebackers of one of the major football teams in our country, he's an all-pro, tough individual, stepped on his wife's spirit during one of our pro conferences, okay? They met me in the restaurant and said, what are we going to do now? And we got together and I said, do you see what's happening? He says, yeah, I know. I've stepped on my wife's spirit and she's closed up on me. What do I do? He tried to do some things with her, but it just wasn't working out because she was saying things like, oh, you don't mean this anyway, or you'll never do this again unless he's here. And he kept saying, I can do this. You know how tough they are anyway. Now, I can do this and I can learn this, but she wasn't responding. He wasn't listening to her nonverbals. Because what you want to listen to is how closed a person's spirit is. A man can come home after work or something and they can get together at night. He can say, hi, hon, I'm home. She can say, yeah, big deal. And he can say, well, is anything wrong? Nope. He can say, well, I did something? Are you kidding? And he can say, well, he can try to touch her. Don't touch me. You always do this to me. The word always, said with that tone of voice and facial expression, means a woman's spirit usually is just closed a little bit. Not a lot. But if he comes home and she says, ooh, you know, and he says, hey, what's wrong with you today? And she says, I am so bent with you. When you left this morning and what you did to me, I mean, ooh, and you always do this, and I don't know if you'll ever change. That means her spirit's closed a lot more. Now, she still wants to talk. She still wants her spirit open. But a lot of times a man doesn't recognize that her spirit is closed more with the more harsh words and the more vocal expression. Now, if he comes home and the front door's locked and he goes to the back door and it's locked and he's knocking on, yes, and then she shouts through the door, you just get out of here because I got a court order against you and just forget this relationship because it'll never work out. What that means is her spirit is closed tightly. The fist is closed. But you know, as you know, as I've found out, a man can still enter back into relationship with that woman. And oftentimes what it starts with is softness and understanding. Because he hasn't been understanding. See, usually he's offended her over the years or she's offended him over the years. And it's so tight now, it's going to take, you know, some time, but it can still be done. So I said with this pro athlete, I said, well, let me play like I'm you for a minute. So I reached across the table and I put my hand on her hand. And I said, you know, I love you so much, and you know we're committed for life, and I don't want to live this way, and I know you don't, and you know how much I really love you. I just want to understand, again, how have I made you feel? Can you help me? I don't want to do this, and I know you don't want to live this way, And if a man is still soft and he says things like, you know what, you deserve a medal, just putting up, how do you live with a guy like me? I mean, I'm telling you, women soften. Children soften. If we were persistent.
Gary,
that's two of them.
Let me, before we go on to the others, let me ask you a really tough question.
Yeah, okay.
What do you run into and how do you get around it when you got two closed spirits trying to talk to one another?
Okay, well, can we put it in the biblical context first? The scripture says that the husband is the head of the home, the head of the wife. He's the lover. If a Christian husband can say to himself, Lord, give me the strength, because the greatest among us is the servant of all. Give me the strength to initiate here, to begin opening my wife's spirit first. Somebody has to start. And biblically speaking, the admonition is to the husband. Let's say we have a husband, though, that has a temperament where he's just wiped out. He's feeling inadequate in his job. Well, then the wife can say, hey, listen, somebody's got to start this. And she can become soft and say, you know, I don't like talking to you the way I do. And I don't like some of the things I've said to you and running you down. And I don't want to live this way. One of the best things they can say is, aren't we committed for the rest of our life? You know, 0 to 10, where do we want to be? 0, we want to be down on the bottom, or do we want to be up to 10? Where are we right now? Where we're 5 or 6? What's it going to take for the next several months to move it up to 8 or 9? I mean, more change comes between husband and wife and parent and child by using this method than any method I'm aware of today. And if a husband and wife are aware of this method, they can open each other's spirit so quickly, it even amazes me. And I've just really started understanding it the last 2 years. And I've tried to express it in this book, Key to Your Child's Heart, but I'm understanding it more and more as I get into it.
You know, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are moving back and forth across the earth looking for a righteous man.
That's right.
Every now and then, as I sit here in the studio, my mind does that. It moves back and forth across the country, wondering who's listening to us and wondering what specific circumstances we're speaking to.
Right.
And I can envision today that we are talking directly to someone who knows they've closed down their mate or their child.
Right.
And the Lord is gently saying, see, now I've been trying to tell you this. Are you beginning to understand what I want you to do? I want you to open that spirit.
Right.
And you do it with love and with understanding and with softness.
Oh, sure. And just by the slightest thing we say to a person, we can close them down. Let me give you another illustration about how easy it is to close a person's spirit. Several years ago, my wife did a very logical thing. She took our little mini motor home, went to the store to get something for dinner because I hadn't gotten home. We only had one car. But in doing so, she ran into the house because the outside is much wider, and she sheared off a big section of the roof. It hit the driveway, you know, put a huge hole in the motorhome. Well, immediately, you know what happens with a person's spirit when that kind of thing happens. They become very hesitant and wondering what the husband's going to say. Well, I came home.
What happened to your spirit?
Yeah, right. Okay, I came home, and I pulled into the driveway, saw the puzzle all over the place. And I have to admit to you that nothing wholesome came to my mind. Only lectures came to my mind, only things that would have closed my wife's spirit down. I mean, immediately I wanted to say, oh, no, $500, you know. And at that time, you know, the income was lower. And we just, I thought, oh, my heaven, where'd you get your driver's license anyway? You know, a lot of things came to my mind. But I sat in that car with my son, Greg, and I thought, Lord, give me the power to do what I know I need to do right now. And I didn't feel like doing it, but I knew I needed to do it. And I even had a discussion with Greg. I said, he was just a little kid, you know, 7 or 8 years old. I said, what are we going to do? And Greg says, well, Dad, why don't you do what you teach? You know, I said, well, that's a good idea. So I got out of the car. When she came around the side of the house, she started crying immediately. All I did was put my arms around her and hold her. Now, you can be nonverbal, you know, kind of thing, squeeze them in. But I was just silent. I never said a word. I just told her I loved her. I let her cry. If I had started to lecture her, she said, oh, I feel terrible. I wrecked the house. You know, I wrecked the car, you know, everything. And she had told the neighbors across the street, and they're watching to see how you're going to respond, you know. But I didn't say a word. I just held her. And I could have said some things to really close down her spirit. But I had to ask, which I would encourage anybody listening, when you really need that strength to do what we know we need to do, take the time right there and say, God, give me the strength to do this. I need it right now. Lord.
You talk about emotional word pictures in this book. What do you mean by that?
Well, an emotional word picture is used in the context of that book of motivating a child to adjust some behavior, but it's also used to motivate a husband and wife, or it's used to praise a person, or it's used to enter into an intimate understanding of a person I'm living with.
Well, give me an example. Okay. What's an emotional word picture?
Okay, let me try to define it. It's an emotional word picture is when you tap a person's emotions with a story in order to teach a truth. Probably the best example of this is when the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 12, when David had witnessed Bathsheba on the roof, you know, and he got turned on and he invited her to his house. He had an affair with her. He gets her pregnant. He's not repenting. He's not, he doesn't seem to be that worked over the whole thing. And so God sends an emotional word picture through Nathan.
Yeah.
And what he did, what Nathan did is Nathan tapped David's emotions first. Where I learned this was at Marriage Encounter.
Yeah.
But sometimes in Marriage Encounter, a person gives an emotional word picture before the other person feels it. And a lot of people that have been to Marriage Encounter come to me and say, well, I tried that and it doesn't work as well as I'd like it to work and so on. And when they've given me their examples, just yesterday, for example, a person came up and said, well, I told my husband that I felt like I was crumbs, that he was pushing off the table and they were hitting on the floor. And now the crumbs are even becoming less frequent. I said, well, the reason that wasn't effective with your husband is because you didn't give him time to feel anything. You gave your emotional word picture too quickly. I said, what you need to do is the kind of thing Nathan did with David. See, what Nathan did is Nathan got David's anger up first by saying, what do you think about this guy, this rich guy that takes this man's only sheep? It was a pet. The kids were hanging onto the leg as they were dragging out of the house, you know, and they were weeping, saying, this is unfair. You know, there's nothing right about this. And David says, you're right. That man deserves to die. And in fact, he's going to pay fourfold right now. See, the emotion juices are flowing.
He got his attention.
Yeah,
no
see,
doubt
the
about
juices
that.
Are flowing. Yeah. That's what's important. Then Nathan says, David, you're the man. Then there's conviction. Well, that's what I find in my home. I'll give you an example with my kids. I travel at least twice a month to some part of the country and do these seminars. And when I come home, the kids are hugging me. Hi, Dad. Welcome. You know, we prayed for you and all that thing. And it's a great reunion. Except that when Greg was about 12 or 13 years old, he would reject me for 2 hours after I got home every time. And I try to hug him. He said, no, Dad, you know, all those nonverbals that maybe I'd closed his spirit. And I thought, I'd check with him, and it seemed like everything was okay, and I'd say to Norma, what's wrong? She'd said, almost always she'd say, well, he's in this phase, you know, and he's managed because you're gone. And this is just a little way, you know, of punishing you, and he'll go over, he'll get over, you know. But then one day I thought, hey, wait a minute, I'm an important member of this family, you know, I'm a valuable member, why should I put up with this? Plus, is it really good to help him develop a habit of rejecting people when he's unhappy? No, that's not right. So I said, hey, I'll try an emotion word picture. He's only 12 years old. Will it work with a kid? So I took him out to breakfast. I said, Greg, can I tell you a story? He said, yeah, Dan. He's eating away, you know. And I said, I want you to pretend that you're on a basketball team. You're a starter, you know, and everybody loves you and you're a vital part of the team. But one day you develop this little problem behind your ear and I take you to the doctor. He has minor surgery right in the office, but you can't play for 3 weeks. And when you finally come back, you know, you can hardly wait to get back to the team, but the coach is ignoring you, the players are ignoring you, and the guy that took your place is obviously ignoring you. And you're on the bench saying, hey, coach, you know, here I am, and everybody's ignoring you. I said, Greg, how would it make you feel if day after day they kept ignoring you? He said, oh, he's eating away. He said, Dad, boy, I'd hate that. I wouldn't like that at all. So you got the juices flowing. Yeah. Then I said, Greg, that's a little bit how Dad feels when I come home from a trip, and you know how you kind of reject me in the first couple hours? And he said, Dad, I didn't know you were, you know, it was that big of a deal. He said, Dad, I didn't know you were hurting. And he says, I won't do that anymore. And I just thought, well, let's see how it works. The next time I took a trip, it was about 2 weeks later, and he says to me, everybody was saying goodbye, Dad, we'll pray for you and so on. He says, hey, Dad, have a great trip. Oh, and Dad, get ready to be rejected when you get home. Now, he never rejected me.
Is that right?
That was the last time.
He made it a conscious thing and an understanding.
Because he felt it.
Gary, you were giving 5 keys to your child's heart. You only got through 2 of them. We just tease people and tell them that they're just going to have to read the book for the other 3. That's a cop-out, but our time's gone. Maybe you can tell me the other 3.
Yeah, okay.
But it's been a pleasure having you here, and I hope you'll drop by to see us again.
Thank you so much. This has been a real, real privilege.
Yeah.
incredible words of wisdom from Dr. Gary Smalley right here on Family Talk. I pray that you'll cherish the great advice passed along on these broadcasts the past couple of days. Go to drjamesdobson.org, then click onto the broadcast page and find out more about the Smalley Institute. There you'll also be able to look through many of Dr. Gary Smalley's popular books as well. You'll find all that information and more on today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. As we wrap up this broadcast, please know how much we love hearing how Family Talk is impacting you and your family. Be sure to give our offices a call here in Colorado Springs at 877-732-6825. After you connect with us, you'll have the option of leaving a message on our listener feedback line, or if you prefer, you can speak with one of our representatives directly. They'll be happy to pray for you, with you, and help you find any of the resources that you might need. Again, our number is 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to listen again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.